will believe. So we want to know that the word of God is also for us. This book is also for us, that we can learn from it. And we see Matthew wrote to the Jewish people, and we see where he used a lot of Old Testament writings so that the Jewish people can know that Jesus Christ is truly the Messiah King. But many chose to believe, and many do not believe. So we see the ordinary people believe, but many times the religious people would not believe God. One or two or just a few of them would believe, but most of them did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah King. They chose not to believe because their hearts were hardened. So we see Matthew portray Jesus Christ as the Messiah King. So we are going to pray and go into Matthew 23, verse 1. Let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We honor you for who you are. We thank you that you are God, you reign supreme, you are above all. There is none like you and none can be compared to you. We thank you for this privilege to share your word. We thank you, O God, for your people, O God, who come out with listening ears to hear your word. We pray that they will not just hear your word, O God, but they will apply your word, O God, to their everyday life. Father, we pray right now that you will touch the hearts of your people, bringing forth change. Lord, we thank you, O God, Almighty Lord, Holy Spirit, for guiding us into all truth. We thank you that you are here with us to guide us, O God, and teach us your word. So I pray, O God, for revelation, knowledge to come to us that will transform us, that we will walk in truth and holiness in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you again for this privilege. We thank you for what you're doing in this season. We thank you for the souls that will come to know you through these words. And we look to you and give you thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we are now in Matthew 23, verse 1. The word of God said, "Then Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples." Then Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples. So there was a great crowd following Jesus, as we know. Wherever he goes, a great crowd would follow him. Because things were happening, people of God. And when things are happening, the crowd will follow. So we see where Jesus was preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom has come, and he was also healing the sick and doing all great signs and wonders and miracles among the people. So we see that the great multitude, Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples. So we have his followers, and also other people were there, other crowd were there following Jesus also. So we see in verse 2, the words that the scribe and the Pharisees, Jesus continued to speak to them. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So we see Jesus was telling them that the scribes and the Pharisees, those religious people he was speaking about, those religious sect, those from the Sanhedrin council, they sit in Moses' seat. They sit to represent the law. They represent the law of Moses. So they continue to carry out and to keep the law of Moses. But Jesus has come, people of God, and to establish the new covenant. But they represent the law of Moses. And the word of God tells us in John 1:17 that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. So we see the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people, were still holding on to the Mosaic law. They were still there trying to keep the old covenant. They were trying to keep the law, which they could not keep. People of God, we have to understand that no man can keep the law perfectly. Only the perfect God-man, Jesus Christ. He is the one who keeps the law perfectly. He is the one who fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. So we see, people of God, that only Jesus could keep the law perfectly. He is the perfect God-man. So even though these religious people were there representing the law of Moses and trying to keep it, none could keep it perfectly. And when the perfect God-man came, he is the only one who could keep the law perfectly. Look on verse 3 of Matthew 23. "Therefore," Jesus continued to speak, "therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not." People of God, what was Jesus saying? "Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not. So Jesus was telling his followers to be obedient, to practice God's law. Practice God's law. Do what they tell you to do. Observe the laws they tell you to. But don't copy these religious people. Don't emulate them. Don't pattern them. For they tell you one thing, Jesus said, and do another. They tell you what to do, but they themselves do not practice it. So they are just speakers of the word. They are just teachers of the law. But they do not practice the law that they teach. That's trouble, people of God, when we are preachers and teachers and not practicing what we are preaching and teaching. God is calling us to practice what we teach and preach. So don't be like the religious people of old. Don't be like those scribes and Pharisees, Jesus was saying. Because they tell you what to do, but they are not doing it. Look on verse 4 of Matthew 23. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their finger. So we see people of God, the religious leaders, lay down all the rules and the customs for people to do, and they themselves were not doing it. They were not willing to lift even a finger to do it. They were not even willing to try to observe, to do what they were telling others to do. So they were bringing a heavy burden upon the people to try to keep the law that they themselves could not keep. Jesus didn't come, people of God, for us to be burdened down. Many are so burdened down trying in human effort to please God. But God is saying to us today that we must rely on the finished work that Christ has done for us on the cross. Jesus himself spoke in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He said, come unto me, all those who have labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Take my teachings upon you. Take my doctrine upon you and learn of me. Learn, Jesus, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Trust me. Come to me. Trust me. Learn me. That's what Jesus is saying. Learn my doctrine. My doctrine is not burdensome. People of God, we have to understand the doctrine of Christ is not burdensome. It's for us to put our faith in the one who lives the law perfectly. He fulfills the righteous requirement of the law. So when we put our trust in him, we are declared righteous. It's as simple as that, people of God. But we make it a burden, trying in human effort to please God. But Jesus is saying to us today, people of God, let us not go around burdened down, saying what we are trying to live the Christian life. Jesus never called us to be burdened down. Come to me, ye that have labored and are heavy laden. We see the religious people come to lay heavy burden upon God's people, and they themselves are not doing it. Teaching and telling you what to do, but not doing it. So we have to come to understand, people of God, that Jesus is calling us to take his yoke. Harness ourselves to him. Unite with Jesus. And we, people of God, will walk without that heavy burden of trying to keep the law in our own human effort. Look at verse 5 of Matthew 23. But all their works they do. Jesus continue to speak about these religious people. But all their works they do to be seen of men. They made their phylacteries broad and enlarged the borders of their garments. And people of God, we have to come to understand what Jesus was saying here. They made their phylacteries broad and enlarged the borders of their garment. Jesus, who knows everything, exposed the motives of the religious leaders. They do all their works to be noticed by people. They broaden their phylacteries. And with phylactery, people of God, is a little case that holds the scripture in it. It holds the scripture text. And this is placed around their head or on the left arm, around the heart. So what they are saying, the word must be in your mind and in your heart. So the word of God said, Jesus said, they broaden these phylacteries. They broaden these cases that hold the scripture so that they can be noticed. So they don't go around with a small little case that no, that maybe somebody will not notice, but they broaden them. They make them big so that everybody can see that they are carrying the law with them. But are they practicing the law? We see people of God. They want people to think that they were super spiritual. They were more righteous than anyone else. They want others to see, they want to be noticed by people. And we see the borders, the word of God said, and they enlarge the borders of their garments. So the borders are the tassels of their garments, also contained the law. So all these were enlarged so that others could see we have the law. But people of God, they were walking with the law externally, but the law was not in their hearts. So we see people of God, the religious people, the religious leaders were so concerned about the external, but the law should be hidden in their hearts. And we have to come to that place of understanding that the word of God must be hidden in our hearts. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against you. That's the only way we will not sin against God, when the word is embedded in us, when our response will be according to the word of God. That's the only way we will not sin, people of God. And the psalmist got the revelation. He said, your word I will hide in my heart, that I will not sin against you. So no matter how much phylactery we have, how much we broaden our phylacteries, how much we have the scripture on our forehead and across our heart, how much the borders of our garments, the tassels of our garments are filled with the laws of God, if the law is not in our heart, then people of God, we continue to sin against God. So we have to come to understand, people of God, Jesus came to expose all those sinners, those religious people who were sinners, but pretended like they were righteous. So we have to come to understand that Jesus sees the heart. We stand naked before him. Can we hide from him? No, we can't hide from him. So we have to be transparent. We have to be honest before him and ask him to cleanse us so that our hearts will be right. So it will not be about the external, but about our heart, the hidden part of us, the heart that no one else can see but God. Look on verse 6 of Matthew 23. Jesus continued to speak about all the religious people. They love the best place at the feast, the best seats in the synagogue. So these religious people, it was all about them being seen of men. They did everything to be noticed by men. They did everything to get the praise of men. People of God. That's what religious people do, to get the praise of men. But God is calling us, people of God, to come into that deep relationship with Jesus, to learn Jesus, so that we can walk in meekness and humility, not looking for men to praise us, not looking for the reward from men, but know that our reward will be great in heaven. So Jesus said in verse 7, they look for greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Look at it, people of God. These religious people are looking for greetings. Everybody must greet them when they go out in the marketplace. And they want to be called Rabbi, Rabbi, teacher, teacher. So we see not just one Rabbi, two Rabbi, teacher, teacher. Emphasis is placed, so everybody must know who they are. Rabbi, Rabbi, teacher, teacher. So we see the emphasis is placed on the word rabbi, showing that they want to be called teacher. But look at what Jesus said in verse 8. But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. So be careful. Don't go around looking for people to be calling you teacher and teacher, emphasizing how great you are, emphasizing your superiority. There's none superior but Christ Jesus. But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and that's Christ. One is your teacher, the Christ. He is the master teacher. You are all brethren. So this teaches the superiority of Christ above all teachers. He's above all people of God. He is the master teacher that we should obey. He is the one that we should reverence. He is the one to be honored. He came to teach the New Testament laws, people of God. And when we want to learn the New Testament laws, turn to Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Read and understand and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the word to you so you understand the laws of the kingdom. So he is the master teacher. He is the one to be revered. He is the one to be called rabbi, teacher, not the religious people. So we see Jesus was showing them these people were doing it for the wrong reason. Their motives were wrong. And they were teaching the things of God that they were not practicing. They were no true rabbis. They were no true teacher. A true teacher will practice what they teach. So we see Christ came. He is the master teacher. Let us turn to him. And he will teach us. He will guide us into all truth. He will teach us all things. The word said, the Holy Spirit come. The Comforter will come in my name. And he will teach you all things. And he will guide you into all truth. And he will bring to your remembrance the word that I have spoken to you. So we have to come to understand, people of God, that Christ Jesus is our master teacher. And he was showing those people not to give them all the honor and the reverence that they were looking for. They were looking for people to reverence them, to call them rabbi in the marketplace, wherever they go, rabbi, rabbi. And they would feel good within themselves. But they were not practicing the laws that they were teaching. So Jesus exposed them. Look at verse 9 of Matthew 23. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. So people of God, we have to understand what Jesus was saying. Not that we shouldn't show respect to our earthly father, but we have to remember that God is our true father. He is the father of spirit. He is the everlasting father. He loves us unconditionally. He alone deserves the honor of being called father. That's what Jesus was saying. He alone deserves that honor of being called father. He is the true father. So let us not go around and calling all sort of men father. For they believe, people of God, that they are holy and their holiness comes from within themselves. But people of God, we have to understand that only God can communicate his holiness to us. He said, be holy, for I am holy. The Holy Spirit has come to live in us so that we can be holy as we surrender to him, as we yield to him. He, people of God, will display his holiness through us. So we have to understand that no man deserves that reverence of being called father. We have to understand that. No man deserves that honor. Only God and God alone. The Father of Spirit, he is our true Father. Look at verse 10 of Matthew 23. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. Don't be called teacher. Don't go around looking for people to call you teacher. Rabbi, rabbi, teacher, teacher. For one is your teacher, and he is the anointed one. He's anointed, people of God, for this assignment. He is the anointed one. He is the one that can teach the laws of the kingdom. He is the one that came from the bosom of the Father. He is the only one that can teach us and show us the Lord. He is the one that came to declare God the Father to us. He is the only one. He is the only teacher. People of God. So we see in those days there were so many teachers of the law in Jesus' days. All these scribes were teachers of the law. They studied the law. So they were teachers of the law. But Jesus Christ, the master teacher, was here. The master teacher has come. He was with them. He came to teach on the new covenant through his blood. Moses spoke to him. Moses spoke of him, that he was the one that should come. They should listen to him. So we have to understand, people of God, that the word of God stands forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word stands forever. And we see where Moses spoke in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 and verse 18. We're going to read that. Moses spoke and the word said in Deuteronomy 18, 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you should hear. What Moses was saying, him you should listen to and obey. Look at verse 18 of Deuteronomy 18. I will raise up for thee, for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. Moses was speaking, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. He is the one that speaks the things of God, Jesus Christ alone. He is the master teacher. So let us be careful as we go around calling people teacher and they are not living the word. They do not know the God that they are teaching about. Christ alone. He came from the bosom of the Father. He knows the Father. He came from him. So he is the only one qualified to teach us the ways of God. Look at verse 11 of Matthew 23. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. So we see in the kingdom of God, greatness is measured by our service to God. Greatness is measured by our service to God. When we serve from a heart of love for God and his people, we are regarded as great in the kingdom of God. So we see those people of old, those religious people of old, were doing all these things and looking for the praise from men. But we have to understand that God is looking for the heart that is inclined towards him, the heart that will serve from a place of love, not just a place of duty. Look at verse 12 of Matthew 23. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. He who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So people of God, let us humble ourselves. Let us stay submitted to the word of God, and God promises to exalt us. His word is true. We must humble ourselves under his mighty hands, and he will exalt us in due time. Let us emulate Jesus Christ, our Lord, people of God. We see the word of God tells us in John 13, 12 to 17. Let us turn there and see what the word of God says in John 13, 12 to 17. The word of God tells us, John 13 and verses 12 to 17. So when he had washed their feet, the word speaking of Jesus here, washing his disciples' feet. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garment and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So Christ gave the perfect example of showing servanthood, showing humility, showing his disciples how to walk in humility and to serve from a place of love and not just from a place of duty. Serve one another. So let us humble ourselves, stay submitted to God's word, and God's promise to exalt us will come through. He promises to exalt us in his time, in due time. So let us emulate Jesus, our master teacher, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Philippians 2:8 tells us, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So we see true humility, people of God, Jesus Christ himself, being found in a fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. He died for you and I on that cross. He died and he rose again. And the word of God tells us that he lives forevermore. He ascended on high, seated on the right hand of the Father, seated at the place of authority. He ever lived to make intercession for us. Let us humble ourselves, people of God. Let us know that we are called to serve. Let us know that those who will be greatest in the kingdom is the one who serve. So let us come to understand that the kingdom of God is different from the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of the world tells you that others must serve you. But the kingdom of God tells us that we must serve others. The greatest in the kingdom is the one who serves. And we must serve from a heart of love and gratitude for what Christ has done for us on the cross. God bless you here. We will stop here this evening and we continue from verse 13 of Matthew 23 next week. God bless you all. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for all that you are doing in our lives. We thank you, O God, Almighty Lord, for your Holy Spirit presence with us. We thank you, O God, that you are calling us to that place of honoring you for who you are and putting you first. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus, we will come to understand that you are the greatest of all. You are above all. So help us to give you the honor and glory that belong to your great name. So we pray, O God, that your kingdom will come in our lives, O God, that we will go forth, O God Almighty, as your servant, humbly serving, O God, out of love and gratitude for what you have done for us. So we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory for who you are. And we thank you, O God Almighty Lord, that you are ever with us. We thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we say amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend and continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings to all. Amen and amen. In the Lord is
thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
The potter, I am the clay.